Yudal Pomodal. We're up to the two dots. Tanurama, middle of the page. Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, middle of the page. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Beis Hey Aleph. Beis Hillel. All right, Beis Hillel. So we're discussing last week about this Machlokas Beis Shem Beis Hillel of how a person is supposed to dab.
Lie down, whether the B'Shavcha Mecha, the whole thing, actually, literally, figuratively. Right.
Exactly.
And what to do.
Right. That's right. So we saw some psukim inside and things of that nature, which supported either view. Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Hillel Omrim, Omdin V'Korin, a person could say the Shema standing up and read Yoshin V'Korin, sit down and read the Shema, Matin V'Korin, leaning and reading, Holchin, which could be like lying down, Holchin Baderech V'Korin, while we're going on the road, also you're traveling, say the Shema then too. It says the Shema directly. Exactly. Right. Rosen de Malachtan Makorin. You can even be doing work, right? Whistle while you work.
So basically, he says you could do it any time, except for the bathroom.
No, but I have a problem with that.
What's the problem?
Okay, the problem is this. We're talking about establishing the Zman Tefila, right?
Okay.
We're talking about the Zman Tefila. Okay.
Yeah.
So give me a situation where you're working, and in the midst of working, or while you're working,
right,
you got to say Shema.
You're a baker, and you got to get up at the crack of dawn to have bread for your bakery. You study before it turns light. You're baking, you're turning out loaves and stuff like that. Zman Shema goes on. It takes you 4 or 5 hours, whatever is your morning bake when you bake bagels, you bake whatever, challahs for Shabbos, anything. And you have to start a certain amount in order to satisfy your customers. So stuff is going on. But the day comes, the morning comes, it gets light.
I hate to tell you this, but you got 5 minutes to be able to say Shema.
Your hands are filthy, you're dirty, you're not getting a time, whatever it is. You may have a time sensitive, you may work for somebody else that you can't take 5 minutes. The boss says, you know, so it gives you the right to say it.
Forget about just saying it, but how about the kavanah saying it?
You can have the kavanah.
While you're working?
Yeah. God listens. The whole thing is, I think you set aside time, it's a time and everything. This is the most important tefillah that we say. It says it in the sacred.
While you're saying Shema. Today you said, between Mincha and Marav.
Oh, someone was listening?
Or was it today or was it yesterday?
Go ahead.
About Shem Hashem. And the kavanas you have to have.
Shabbos.
Shabbos. Okay.
Yes.
All right?
Right.
While you're working, and you think Shema has a specific significance
right. For
Shem Hashem,
right.
Then you should not be even contemplating saying it. B'dievet? Yeah, sure, B'dievet, fine. Everything is B'dievet is fine, okay? But to bring this as a statement, a fact, in the midst of what we're discussing.
Why do you say it's a statement of fact? Maybe it is a b'dievet. Maybe he's saying, just like you're saying, says, just to know that you can say, naturally, the time, hey, first you're supposed to have kavanah when you daven and everything. Go over and get a harama. As far as that, people sometimes wait an hour. They get their minds ready.
In every situation here,
you
have the ability to get your mind off the words you're saying.
But, wait a second, why does it say, if you're saying as you say it, it says, why is the actual pasuk, if it was such a thing that you had to say, sit still in this, that the actual verbiage itself in the Chumash is telling you you may have to.
If you are sitting on a horse-drawn carriage, you've got the ability to focus on what you're saying, not while you're working.
But it's saying that you have the time to do it. In those days, in Moscow, you're walking in your path.
So as you're walking, you can say it.
So you're walking. So you're working, you're saying it. You can have a zin to do it.
Stephen. What you can... All right. I mean, you can debate it.
Yeah, I know you're about saying, but why would the Pesach even go out of its way of saying...
But it doesn't say while you're working.
But it gives you that it's not an absolute. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, this to me seems to be such an extreme in the context of having kavanah, saying it.
So, the Gemara actually deals with this question later on. And he says that when it tells us that you can read the Shema even when you're working, it doesn't mean the entire Shema, but it means up until, you can say the Shema, stop, say the Kavana at least. Here it says Perek Rishon, but it could mean the first pasuk. Okay. At least the Shema, Baruch Shem, there's a whole machlokas, how much, how far. And then afterwards you can start working. It means that you don't have to, you can, at least the part where you need to have the Kavana for.
So therefore you are stopping. As you are doing something here.
Right. So in other words, the way, at least the way the Gemara reads later on, is when the Gemara says, Osim b'malachim b'korin, because the Rashi actually brings this as a source to later on in 16a that says that you could do that, but it doesn't mean the entire Shema. The beginning, where you must have Kavanah, without Kavanah you have Minyotze,
right. Then
you have to stop. In fact, the Gemara also there discusses, while you're walking, there's also, you can't have Kavanah while you're walking. It's too difficult. You're busy concentrating on the road.
Right.
So he says you have to stop, at least for the first pasuk,
right. The
Shema itself, and then you can continue. That's how it's brought down. It's brought down over there, because the Gemara over there talks about your workers sitting on top of a tree, and to ask them to climb down in the middle of their job is, on one hand, okay, they can have better kavana on the ground, right. But they're paid workers. There's the, people act from at the expense of others.
Yeah.
I'm hiring you to work for me. You're supposed to do a job. And it's not like I'm paying you X for your job done. I'm paying you by the hour. So every second, you're supposed to be working. So that's the kind of the...
That's what I said before.
The compromise.
He has to do it. He doesn't have a choice.
Right.
But he has to stop. It's not while you are doing the actual working. There has to be a hefsek between the machshava. You have to have a machshava for it. You just can't whistle while you work.
And the Gemara gives over there. It's a whole piece, but it discusses what things should you stop for? Should you stop for the for benching or the Shemoneh Esrei? A whole different discussion. What you could and can't. But then the Gemara tells us it really depends on. If the Baal HaBayis is makbid, if you got your boss is like, get back to work, that's when all these laws apply. But if you have someone who is like, all right, take a minute.
Boss, because the Jewish boss is the worst.
I guess so. Right?
True.
They're more respectful.
It's exactly.
So, right. So, I mean, if that's the case, that's the case. But that's how the Gemara defines it. Which sounds like it's never optimal to actually say the Shema while you're...
Are you working? I mean, you should be davening,
But it's also, it's, for example, like walking and saying the Shema. You say, well, what's a person doing that? So, on a typical Shabbos, assuming that a person wants to say the Shema, bizmano, with some zman kriya Shema, and they can check on that calendar way in the back there, is 9:05, right? Shachar starts, well, forget about
some
you.
Some of us
at 9:00. So if you say the Shema, which you have to say it anyway at the time as it's inserted at the end of the before Shema Esrei, it's 9:45. It's past Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, right? So some people on their way to Shul will say the Shema.
Or in Kabbalah,
or you can say it then, right?
Well, in this home,
right?
I'm pretty late at 8:30. I say Shema.
Okay.
So it's fine. I have to interrupt the morning cup of coffee, but all right.
I mean, it's 9:05 now. It's not an issue for them if you go downstairs.
People show up at 10.
They're up to Musaf at 9:05 downstairs.
We were beyond Musaf this week.
All right. Anyway, so that's the discussion we'll get to when we get to that part of the Gemara. Okay, but that's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel basically says you can say the Shema
anywhere except for the
bathroom, basically. Right. Fine. And then we continue with a little story. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Story between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They were both lying down In the same place. There
the
were,
Seder? Weren't these the same guys who were sitting at the Seder in the Haggadah?
Oh, Rabbi Elizabeth Azari was right. Certainly in there, Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah.
I think they were both there. Maybe that's the Inyan.
Could be. I'm not sure. Possible. Sure. Where that Mishnah, by the way, is going to be at the end of this parish. We'll see that. Actually, in two blocks from now, I think it's on Yud Beis and Beis, if I remember correctly. Umasnib Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah. Shainusumin b'makam echad. They were reclining in one place. Actually, it's the Mishnah, which is in the Haggadah, but it's a different one. V'hayu Rabbi Yishmuel motav Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah zok. Rabbi Yishmuel was lying down. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the young guy, was straight as a board. He was sitting straight. Okay. Kivan she'gizman kriya shema. Came to the time to say the Shema. So, at that moment, when they realized it was the first opportunity to say the Shema, he threw Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar began to lie down. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was lying down. Because after all, Rabbi Shmuel was also lying down. So what happened when Rabbi Shmuel saw Rabbi Elazar lie down, as he was doing? Zucker Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel got up. So they were like playing tag team. One guy was lying down. The other one was sitting straight. As soon as time the Shema came, Rabbi Elazar was lying down. And then all of a sudden, Rabbi Shmuel got up. So this is very strange for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shmuel. Yishmuel. Achi, Yishmuel, my brother. I mean, they were brothers, but brotherhood. Emshulcha mashul ma davidem. Let me give you a parable to what this is comparable to. Mashul echad, a person, sha'amrim lo, they go up to you, and maybe it's during Sfira, you usually have a nice clean shaven, and here you are with a nice beard. The guy comes up and says, you know what? You look really good. It's a kankam gudel. Your beard's growing in really nice. It looks really nice. You look terrific. So Amulahem, so how do you respond to such a beautiful compliment that he's saying that you look really nice with your new beard? You say, yeah, keneged ha-mashchisim, let it go opposite the destroyers. Alright, I'm going to shave it off. Alright. That's a very weird thing to do.
Instead of being a compliment, you know, taking as a compliment, okay, now I got to shave. You know?
Right. The fact that I'm complimenting you, showing that I agree that your beard looks nice, that's immediately the time you're going to shave it off. Afkach, so too over here. Afkach, so too you. Kozman, Shani, Zoko, the whole time that I was straight. The most, you, Rabbi Shmuel, were lying down. So I thought, when it's time to say the Shema, you lie down, I'm also going to start lying down. Afshav, Kishani, Itisi, once I compliment you and lie down as you are doing, Atozakapta, that's when you straighten yourself up. What's going on over here? Why'd you do that? Right? I was only lying down because I wanted to compliment you that you were lying down too. I wanted to do the same thing as you're doing. So now that I lie down, you get up. What's going on? So Amrullah Rabbi Shmuel tells us a very incredible answer, he says. He said, Ani Asisi Kiri Beis Hillel. I hold like Beis Hillel. He's my God. Yatah Asisi Kiri Beis Shammah. Apparently, you hold like Beit Shammah. Because Beit Shammah says, and obviously this tells you what.
You gotta lie down.
You have to lie down because this is the night time. This is obviously the Shema of the night. And then he says, not only that, El Shema Yir HaTalmidim, maybe my students will see me. Vayikvu Halach L'Doros, and they'll establish an incorrect halacha for all future generations. So we're asking, my V'lo'od, what does that mean? And not only this. So what do you mean? What does he have to give a second reason? So the Gemara says this. V'chi teima beis hillel nami isl humatim. Rabbi Elizabeth Zarek can say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because
beis hillel said you can lie down. You can stand, sit, do whatever you want. So what do you mean? So what if you're lying down? So why did you have to straighten yourself up? Hani mili, this is the important rule. Only time we say that a person is allowed to say the Shema b'shachbucha when you're literally lying down, it's only the mitzvah be'asam yikaru. Only in a situation where you were already lying down from before. You were lying down and lying down, and you looked at the clock, and all of a sudden, a second later, it says, oh, it's Now I can say the Shema. Since you're lying down, you can say the Shema lying down. If you're standing, and then all of a sudden it gets to the Shema, you can continue to say the Shema standing.
Are we referring to the Shema or Shema Amita?
Shema.
Kriya Shema itself. Shema itself.
Every other night I'm talking about Kriya Shema Amita.
Well, I mean, because based the words on the Mishnah, which contrast the evening to the morning, is with the whole Machlokas B'Hashem Beis Hillel, is talking about Kriya Shema as we know it.
Because what I'm saying is, so a person who's been lying in bed,
yep,
going to say Shema, and it's at nighttime, he's been lying in bed because he's going to go sleep, and then he's going to say Kriya Shema Amita right after that. Is there a necessity to do it?
That's the question that we saw on Beis Amud Aleph, that Rashi, well, Rashi is of the opinion that you only need to say the first paragraph. Right.
But I'm saying, so, but if you have it zin, you know, you have it zin at the same time. You say, I'm saying, I'm going to say Shema tonight. First of all, well, the whole thing, you know, of saying Ma'ariv and a whole other thing. If you're lying down, can you say Ma'ariv even in bed, basically? You know.
But isn't that talking about the Shmon Esrei? The Shmon Esrei has to, is an Amida. You have to stand for it. That we're not talking about. This is just Krishna. Not talking about the Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei, for sure, you have to get up.
The point is, if you're so tired, you're lying in bed, this, you're not going to get up to say, you know.
Oh, so that it gives you an option. You get to at least lie down for the Shema, but eventually you got to get up to say the Shmon Esrei. That you have to do. There's no, that we're not talking about. We're talking about the Shema. The Shema is different than the Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei, you're standing in front of a melech. It's only lying down in front and talking to a king. No.
The point being, though, if you have to stand up because you're going to have to say Shmon Esrei,
you know,
why did they allow you to, you know what I'm saying? You know, you have to get up anyhow, so get up. Why? Because
I'm pretty comfortable here. I don't like lying down on the floor.
You might fall asleep. Because you're in this thing, you might fall asleep if you don't say Mara.
Then don't go to sleep. Stay up.
I'm also going to have to put yourself in such a madrigal.
You know, that's... don't forget, I mean, that's also like when it came to dinner. We sit down like this. They used to recline. So that's how they used to eat. They used to eat in a more relaxing way than we do. That's why they didn't have fast food. They used to lie down and relax. We're up and going. So anyway, that's what the Gemara says at this point. Aval bat hacha here. Kivan di ad hashta havizok. Up until this point in time, you, Rebbe Elazar, you were standing. Vahashta mutin, now you lie down. Why are you lying down? To anyone who's watching the two of us in action, they'll think, Amri, Shema Mina Kibbe Shammai Sirohu. It must be that we hold like Kibbe Shammai. How do I see that? Forget about Rabbi Shmuel. Well, Rabbi Shmuel's lying down, but okay. He was always lying down. Rabbi Elazar Nazari was standing, now he lies down.
Because then, if it's Mishapcha, then you're going to have to go ahead and to lie down to say it.
Yeah, but Hillel says you can say it also.
But he was really standing up.
Right.
He's standing up and then lying down, and then he's following the pattern of Beit Shammai, that you have to lie down.
Right.
That's what people would think.
Right.
And that's like, why do you continue? You're standing up already.
Because it says, according to Hillel, Mishapcha, Kumachi, you get your chance. It means that if you're standing, you can still sit down. If you want to learn it that way.
This is what Rishmol is teaching us.
And he's concerned that his students will see that, because they're holding like Mishamah. Right.
Exactly. Shema Yiru HaTalmidim, my students will see it. V'yikvu Halacha Doris, will establish the Halacha like this for all future generations. Rabbi Shmuel did nothing wrong, because if Rebbe Elazar Nazari wasn't in the picture, he would have been lying down, and he would have said the Shema lying down. But once Rebbe Elazar Nazari was standing, and then he deliberately lies down in order to say the Shema, Rabbi Shmuel was now in a dilemma. If he said the Shema as he could have, he didn't do anything wrong, but there'll be a perception that the Halacha will be like Beis Shammai. Why? Because Rebbe Elazar Nazari clearly must hold like Beis Shammai. He said, Beis Hillel also you can lie down. That's only if you're already lying down. But to deliberately lie down the moment it's time to say the Shema, when you were not lying down before, that you're not supposed to do. It's only once you're in the motions, we don't stop you from doing those motions. Right? Which is the idea, I think, of also Lech Lecha V'Derech. You're moving, you're traveling, and now it's time to say the Shema. So you can do it in that way. But to change the pattern of what you're doing, that you're not allowed to do. And therefore, because of this, I stood up when you lied down. That's what he answers. So it's kind of interesting how the importance of people who are watching. Right? It's not only what we say, because I could say something and it could be misconstrued. I could do something which I, if people are watching me, I'm going to make a mistake.
Well, yeah,
the
idiot of Marasayan.
Yeah. Right, this is, he didn't even do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, but the possibility, the perception that he might have paskin like Mei Shammai, he had to go out of his way to make sure that.
No, but you have the same thing today. As when, you know, whenever I'm in Israel, I got this thing, do you want to go to Rebbe's dish?
Yeah.
I go. Do you want to sit there and watch him eat? He says, yeah, you learn a lot of important things.
Right.
And the Hasidim stand around him, and whatever he does,
right,
that becomes
Teres Marsha.
I'm going to do it. If he does this, because he's got a ditch. If I got to do this, you know? And now here's the same scenario.
Right.
Rabbi Shmuel is concerned that his Talmidim are going to see everything that he does and how he does it is going to be interpreted the way that this is Torah.
That's right. But I mean, even on a, that's an extreme, but we know when it comes to children, they look up to their parents
like
and their teachers.
Or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, anything, yeah. They, what we do, they will model. They might not like what they do, and they're going to do exactly what you're doing. So you have to be very careful. That's the idea here. So you have to be very careful what we say and what we do, so if it's something which could end up teaching negative behaviors. Okay. All right. Let's continue with this next piece of Gemara. Tani Rabbi Cheskel. Rabbi Cheskel says, Asa k'dibri Beis Shammai. If you do like Beis Shammai, you're good. No problem. You don't have to follow like Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai. If you want to hold like Beis Shammai, no problem. K'dibri Beis Hillel. If you want to go like Beis Hillel, you can do that too. No problem. Rabbi Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yosef says, no. Asa k'dibri Beis Shammai. Well, us a little clue. If you follow Beis Shammai, it's like you've done nothing. What do you mean? You said the Shema. You said the words. If you said the Shema in the way that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was going to do it, it's like you didn't. You're not Yotze. You didn't fulfill the obligation at all. Which we're going to see that that's not really necessarily the case. We'll see that in Tosfos in a moment. But it's a very strong language to say do not follow the words of Beis Shammai. And he brings a proof that if you go against either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation. It's a very unusual example that the Gemara gives to prove this point, to illustrate this point. It's not only in the Mishnah in the second chapter in the Sukkah. The minimal, there's two things about a sukkah. The minimal dimensions of a sukkah is it has to be enough for rosho over rubo, your head and the majority of your body. Because again, they used to say that they used to eat like reclining. So you have to have rosho over rubo, your head and the majority of your body, which is translated in the Gemara in Sukkah as 6 by 6 tefachim. A tefach is a hand breadth, so it's like 2 feet. Enough for your head and a little bit of your body is about 2 feet. That's all you need, according to one opinion. You also, according to Beis Shammai, require the shulchano. You also have to have your table in the sukkah. Which, when it comes to a small sukkah, it only is, part of it overlaps on your body, and then it extends, let's say, another tefach. So that's why the minimal dimensions, the length and width of a sukkah, is 7 by 7 tefachim. Which is only two feet by 2 feet, basically. And that's Beis Shammai, who's always generally strict. Beis Hillel says, nah, you only have to have Rosh of Rubo. The Shulchano can be B'tocha Bayis. The table can be in your house. Beis Shammai Poslin. Beis Shammai says, no way. Beis Hillel Machshirin. Beis Hillel says it's still kosher. And the other idea of what this means is that you have a large sukkah. Let's say you have a sukkah this large. And you're sitting on the edge of the sukkah. And let's say, for example, you're in your sukkah and it's right and you have a nice screen door and your table's, you know, inside the house and you're at the end of the table. So the table is still in your house. They push the dining room table all the way up to the edge. And, you know, you'll this way the rest of your family whoever, let's say you have little kids or your wife, and you eat.
They're inside. The
they're
house.
Inside.
The only mitzvah's on you, the wife. Yeah,
this is a practical example. So, but the table is in the house, and the sukkah ends here. So, you know, of course, that doesn't mean you're supposed to eat at the table. So you sit, you know, a little bit away, but you grab something and you eat. This way, so you're still eating out of the sukkah, and you put your food back down here.
Right. So Beis Shammai
would say you're not good. Beis Shammai says right. Beis Shammai says absolutely not. Beis Hillel says it's kosher. You're still in a sukkah, and the reason the Gemara says over there is because there shemer yimshach achar shulchano. You may be drawn after your table. If you're sitting here, most people don't eat like this. You'll end up. You're not even going to be thinking. Before you know it, you'll be eating over the table, and then you look up and you realize the sukkah is behind you. So therefore, Beis Shammai says no way. Okay. So I'm going to have Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, "Why are you being so strict? Let me tell you a story. Mas, this is the whole thing is the mission in Sukkah. Mas says story. Shahochu zikni Beis Shammai, v'zikni Beis Hillel v'akar. As Rabbi Yochanan ben Horchanus. There was a story that the elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they went to visit b'mavakar chol. They visited this man, Rabbi Yochanan, who was sick." Matsa'uhu, they found him, assuming that he was obligated to sit in the sukkah to begin with, because the chol, a sick person, is generally puffed in the sukkah. Nonetheless, they found him, shehoya rosha ribu sukkah, he did this. Only his head and his body were in the sukkah. But shulchan ribu sukkah ma'as, the table was in the home. V'lo amr lo klum, they said nothing. So Beis Hillel said, why didn't they say anything? It must be because it's not a problem. And therefore, I'm right. You don't need to have the table in your sukkah. It's just enough that your body is in the sukkah. How do I know that? Because they would have given him tochach. They would have given him rebuke. Told him, put the table in your sukkah. So Amulahem, so Beis Shammai says, no, you have the story wrong. Mishom Raya, that from there, you want to bring a proof? Ahem Amrulo, even they said, even the Zikni Beis Hillel said, Im kein ha'isa noheg, if this is what your custom is, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you have never fulfilled a mitzvah sukkah in your life. Okay. Fine. Now, before we continue, that's the end of that Gemara, that Mishnah, which proves that if a person does not fulfill, does not do according to
Beis Shammai,
you're right. The interesting thing about this proof is it's the exact opposite. This is one of the very few times we actually paskin like Beis Shammai. We actually hold like Beis Shammai with regard to the dimensions of the sukkah, 7x7 tefachim minimum, and that the shulchan must be in the sukkah. You're not allowed to have the table out of the sukkah. It has to be in the sukkah.
But only the part of the shulchan, not the whole shulchan.
Just as it doesn't matter how much. It just has to be enough for you to eat on that little area.
Like this area over here.
Yeah, I mean
sufficient.
Definitely. If the table can extend itself, just as long as your part of the table is in the center. So, but the interesting thing is, our Gemara is talking about that we hold like Beis Hillel, and if you hold like Beis Shammai, you didn't fulfill the Shema. You didn't say the Shema if you lie down. Here, they bring a proof, I mean, this Tosus asks, but we'll see the Tosus in a moment, that if you sat in a sukkah with a table out of your sukkah, then you didn't fulfill the obligation. What do you mean? Just like I said the Shema, so why not fulfill it? Because you went like Beis Shammai. Here also, what do you mean? I sat in a sukkah, look, I'm sitting in a sukkah. Doesn't matter, you held like Beis Hillel, we don't hold like Beis Hillel. And therefore we see that if you don't do it exactly like Beis Hillel, by the Shema, or Beis Shammai, by the case of the Sukkah, then you don't get any mitzvah at all. You don't fulfill it at all.
Okay, well, next question.
Fine.
Your Sukkah is as big as this room.
Right.
Right, so therefore you fulfilled the size of the Sukkah.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about 7x7, right. I'm talking about a huge
right. Sukkah. Right, it's a two, this Beis Shammai's Hill with Sukkah, there's two machlokas.
The 7x7 is the minimum, though.
That's only according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says 6x6. You don't need the table.
Okay, so now, let's assume that your sukkah is bigger than both than Beis Shammai's dimension.
Yeah.
And your table is not in the sukkah.
Right.
Are you yotzei or not?
In other words, you ate and this the table is not in your sukkah.
Yeah.
No. But that's yeah. But go ahead.
So then.
Yeah.
What is the dependent factor is not the size alone.
Right. Right.
It's that the table must be part and parcel of your eating in the sukkah.
Right.
And you don't eat in the sukkah without a table. So it's not size that's related.
Right. Right. That one is a different issue.
No, but the reality is that the machlokas has nothing to do with the size.
If it's a big sukkah, there's two disputes. One is the smallest size.
Right.
And then, as you said, if a typical sukkah, which is much larger than that, in that they also argue in whether or not if there's the tables in the sukkah or not in the sukkah, if that's necessary.
And so there's two different machlokas.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, in this particular example, it was a large sukkah. It was larger than the dimensions. The whole question is
the table
wasn't there, right?
So it's table dependent.
It's table dependent,
and
right?
Size dependent.
In this particular dispute, yeah. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means what happens if, you know, practically. Let's say you have a sukkah which just doesn't have a table in it.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, but sukkos teshuva, where does it say anything about a table? Where is this halacha that you have to have a table? Wow. Since you talk about yeshiva and a sukkah, it doesn't say you have to have a table there. Not a halacha.
Right.
So, where do they derive this whole thing from?
It was only a gezera. They made a decree that you may be drawn after your table. And
that's maybe because you have a table. If you didn't have a table, you'd be yotzei.
Right.
Because there's a table, that's might be drawn into it. But if you didn't have a table, then you could be okay.
It makes sense. It's a very valid point. Because
it says Pesukos Teishu. What does it say? There's a shulchan coming to this.
Because the Gemara literally gives the example of your opening.
I can understand if you have a table and it's by the opening, you'll lean forward, you'll take.
That's the example
of
Gemara gave.
If you're sitting there in a chair by yourself, and you don't have a table there, and you're sitting and eating there, you know, al fresco, whatever the heck it is.
So why is there not focus if the table's there or not?
Because the table draws you, the way most people know. That's the reason.
One second, my focus is about what?
One is about the minimal dimensions,
okay,
and the other one is
if the table.
The table. Right.
So there has to be, table has to be in, the table has to be out. Is that enough locus?
If the table is out, have you fulfilled your obligation?
If the table is out,
yeah.
So therefore, is if you're sitting without a table.
It's like you're not eating in a sukkah.
So therefore,
that's the language they use.
Therefore, it's table dependent.
Right.
And now what he's saying is it's not table dependent.
Well, because the reason why it's table dependent is
because you may reach over.
I understand.
I
understand that. Right. But what we're bringing now here is a very interesting raya. That if there was no table,
you're okay.
And you would sit. Your sukkah does not have a table in it.
Right.
You're sitting in a sukkah that's 30 feet by 30 feet.
Right.
What's the difference between sitting in a sukkah without a table or with a table that's at the edge of the sukkah?
Because, very simple. The fact that there's a table is sitting, you're going to sit next to the table that's by the sukkah, you might be drawn out of the sukkah. That's the difference. If there's no table near it, the next week, you're not going to be sitting. You're sitting down. You have a sandwich on your lap. This is a sukkah. The whole room. Just take away this table. You're okay. But the fact is, if this table is now, that's the entrance to the sukkah where the door is. But because it's at the end and you're sitting in the sukkah, but against the table, then most of it is in the outside of the sukkah, and you'll be leaning forward that your head won't be underneath the opening of the sukkah, then you won't be yotzei. I can understand that simple logic.
I'm not so sure.
I don't know. You tell me. That's what it sounds like to me.
I hear what you're saying. I never thought of it when I learned Gemara, I don't know why. But
well, this will give you something Del Rey to think about. Come back to us. Right. Go home when you're on vacation.
That's right.
Get some homework from last week, huh?
Yeah.
Now you do remember.
Well, wait a second. That's why you have your recording. You should be able to
check
the recording.
That's right.
So we still have not come up with any resolution this time.
About the table?
Yeah, whether you need the table or not.
I have to look it up. We have to do some research on that. But it's the Gemara over there tells us the reason is just because Gzera Shemayim Shachachar Shulchan, you may be drawn after your table. Now the question is, if you...
But if there's no table, then you're not going to be drawn. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm wondering if that's true.
That's right. That's the
maybe
point.
You're like, man, what am I doing here? I don't have a table. I might as well bring this inside. I don't know. You know? The Gemara doesn't give that example. The Gemara gives a specific example that you're on the edge of the...
Yeah, and that sukkah, I could understand. And that could possibly draw you out from underneath the sukkah, so you wouldn't be able to. But right. Here, when there is no table, and because of, you're going to sit in the middle of it. Here, because there's a table, you're sitting at the edge as a sukkah where the table is in your house, and it draws you in.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. I'm not sure. It's a good thought. I'm not sure. Okay. We're going to get to the Mishnah, then we're going to conclude by looking at the halacha of all this. Tani Rabbi Yecheskel. Asikri Bebe Shammai. So we already saw this Mishnah, and we're up to the second to last line before we get to the next Mishnah. We're up to the words Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Oimer, Asik Rebbe Beis Shammai. If you follow the words of Beis Shammai, Chai Misa.
That's really good.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. You're going to get killed. Did none, and I can prove it to you. I have a Mishnah. A Mishnah which we learned. Omrav Tarfon, I ain't how you see Baba Derech has traveled on the road. You taste the liquor, could be Shammai. I lean down. This is interesting. You can read the language of Rav Tarfon is not that he was already lying down. He was traveling. Came to Zman Kriyashma, then he lied down. Likros Kedivri Beis Shammai. That is Beis Shammai. Even though Beis Hillel says you can lie down, that's already you're already lying down. Here he was moving. V'sekanti ba'atzmim ne'alistim. I endangered my life. Bunch of bandits almost killed me. So you're going to hopefully show some compassion and feel really bad for me, right? Ogoloso, they said back, no, not so much compassion here. Ani kadai kaiso chay ba'atzmacha shevarti al diri Beis Hillel. It is befitting that, how does it translate into that?
It should have been fitting for you to have come to harm because you transgressed upon the words of Beis Hillel.
Right, which is obviously a very difficult thing to understand. It doesn't
necessarily... I have a question though.
Yeah.
Is Rav Nachman is saying that if you follow Beis Shammai about the sukkah?
No.
No. Was the thing that
we're back to the Shema. The sukkah business was just a proof to show that you have to hold like one and not the other. If you hold like one and not the other, then it's like you didn't fulfill the mitzvah at all. So, but this is telling you, you lied down when you said the Shema, not just you're not Yotze, but you should Chayv Misa. Fine. Now, in Halacha, which we'll conclude with just a couple of lines over here, it says in Hilchos Kriya Shema, in the title of the Siman is Leshe Bishas Kriya Shema V'lo Yishan, about sitting down during the time of the Shema.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, Kari Osa Mahalech, you can say the Shema, traveling, O Omed, standing, O Shochev, lying down, O Rochev on Gabi Behema, riding an animal, O Yoshev, or sitting. Okay. And then it says, Mi Sherotz Lahachmir, one who wants to go strict, Lamo to stand, Kishu Yoshev, you want to stand during the Shema. You're already sitting down, and you want to stand during the Shema. Blikros of Umad, Nikra Avarion. You're considered an Avarion, it's like a sinner, a transgressor. You're a transgressor. You're sitting down and then you stood up to say the Shema deliberately because it's the morning and the Torah says, come out, I want to hold Ebe Shammai. You're an Avarion. You're a violator. You're a sinful person. This says directly in Halacha. Now,
should I give you a thing? I think maybe there's a reason for it.
Yes.
Just at the same reason when we say Aseres HaDibros.
Yes.
When people are laying, people you don't stand up just specifically for the Aseres HaDibros. You stand up at the parsha beforehand. It's because we should not go ahead and say, okay, Aseres HaDibros, you are the essence of our religion.
Right.
Therefore we are standing only in response to this. Okay?
Yeah.
Here is the same thing.
Right.
You're davening, everything is being sat down. You're standing up now that you're paying more homage to the Shema than the rest of the Tefillah, that I think is also
that's
a wrong image.
That's good. We're gonna see the Mishnah Berurah on that. That's a good thought. I just saw this. It's how you mahalich v'derech. You're traveling. Barot zalikros kreishma. You want to say the Shema while you're traveling. Sarach lamo de pasuk rishon. You have to at least stop for the first pasuk for the Shema. That's it. Because that you have to have kavana for. Okay, we're gonna conclude with the words of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah tells us the halacha kibes hillel. The spiruhu basil holds the hanichsev ukamecha when you get up. Ein hakavana b'amida. This doesn't mean you have to physically be standing, like Beis Shammai says. El bezman shedev b'nei adam lokum mitasam. It just means that's the time to say the Shema when people get up in their beds. The usher lo lahachmir lasos kibes Shammai. It's usher, forbidden to follow and go strict like Beis Shammai. V'afil im ein hakavana b'amidasam. Lasos kibes Shammai, even if the reason why, the reason you're sitting down and you're about to say the Shema, why are you, do you want to stand up? You don't want to follow Beis Shammai. Elo l'orer hakavana b'kadoma. Maybe it's, you'll have more concentration. You're standing up, you're falling asleep, sitting down. If you stand up to say the Shema, if you're falling asleep and you're saying the Shema, it's the morning, shacharis, and you're right about to say the Shema, you stand up. I feel healthy, so you're not allowed to do that either. And it's perhaps a reason, as we saw the story of Rabbi Shmuel, because if you stand up, you're giving the impression that you're holding like Beis Shammai, even though that's not why you're doing it. Unlike the way the Gemara said it, because the Gemara wasn't necessarily telling you that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, but if you said the Shema b'di'evet, you fulfilled your obligation. Okay. And then he says, Misha ha'machmer b'tnei rabin. In general, you want to go strictly Beis Shammai. In this case, if a person wants to go strict and it's bithnei rabim in front of the community, but davar shemutter, something which is permissible, v'ikol mechash liyuhara, it's possible that people will look at you as in a haughty manner while he's trying to go strict. Well, the halacha says menadin oso, you have the right to excommunicate such a person. V'hainu im oso hadavar. Something which, if all the Jewish people, it's permissible, and they are the only ones, I want to stand out. I want to be the only one that does this. I want to take this one chumrah. You can actually be excommunicated for that, says the Prima Gavin. However, he says, interesting, v'im yadua she'asla l'shem shemayim. If you know this guy is a special person, he's doing it for l'shem shemayim, ein madadinos, and then you're not allowed to excommunicate him. Right.
The members of the Chumrah of the Week Club, do they have this written in advance? Or no?
I don't know. Maybe this would be a nice thing for them to learn. I don't know. Anyway, we'll just want to conclude with this last statement, which is, all right. You said you're at Avarium. If you stand up, he says that if you're saying the Shema, you're sitting down. You're right about to say the Shema, then you stand up. That's an avarium. You have transgressed. Dafku b'zeh hu da'aser. Only then is it forbidden. Mishum shenira l'chol de mishum chumer ka'amid. It looks like you're doing it to be strict. Avol im omid yachol leishev. Interesting. It says if you're standing, you can sit down to say the Shema. Da'az einu nira de mishum chumer ka'amid. It doesn't look like the reason why you're sitting down is you're trying to be strict. You're tired, you want to sit down. And therefore it's not a problem. It says, V'dafka v'shachos, only in the morning. When it comes to Marit, Ein l'lahatos v'leshet k'sh'omid. You're not allowed to lie down. If you're standing, you're not allowed to lie down. T'nir kos v'shamah, because then it looks like, in fact, you're holding like the opinion of Beis Shammai. So that's the process. All right, we'll stop here.